And the fact that there's art as well as science involved, baking is highly mathematical. So your proportions and all have to be right. It's not like cooking. Matlab, if you want to get a consistent product, you have to carefully weigh out everything. And some of the processes are also very precise. And the temperature, everything. You have to have that kind of a scientific knowledge. And of course, artistry as well. The things have to look good.
Hey guys, welcome to yet another episode of Power of Passion. I'm Nivedita, the host of this show. In this show, each week I interview the inspiring personalities who follow their passion in order to help you to understand your inner potential and how to live your passion with a purpose and lead a meaningful life. Today, I'm super excited to invite the guest speaker of our show, who is Hemangi Sahare. Hemangi is an engineer turned entrepreneur, and she's a founder of Soul Sugar Bakery and Patisserie, which specializes in customized cakes and desserts. Soul Sugar Bakery has been featured in Maharashtrian Daily, Lok Satta, and Hemangi has been the guest star on the show Health in 100 on Living Foods channel. So, without further ado, let's welcome Hemangi Sahare into our show and get to know all about her journey. Hi, Hemangi. Welcome to my show.
Hi, Nivedita.
I'm so excited to have you here and thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for inviting me. So I'm excited too.
Okay. So, without further delay, I have lots of questions in my mind. So, let's dive deep into our conversation.
Sure, done.
So while we had a casual conversation, you mentioned that you quit your job from being a data analyst to a baker, right?
Yes.
How did this journey into baking start? And at what point in your life did you actually decide to quit your job and start your Soul Sugar Bakery?
First of all, I'll start with, you know, me being a foodie and my entire family has a big sweet tooth. So it starts from my childhood. I just love sweets. At 17, of course, I wasn't aware of what I really wanted to do in life. So I chose engineering and, you know, life went on and I got a job. So while I was doing my engineering, you know, I started baking as a hobby because, of course, I used to love eating desserts. So I'm like, okay, let's try our hands. And YouTube was very new. So I used to follow some early channels and I used to bake. So during my second year of engineering, I was like, okay, you know, the cakes which I baked were good. My family friends started liking it. So I was like, this is something I can see myself doing. But at that point, I was like, okay, let's do a job, earn a lot, and maybe have an early retirement and pursue baking. So that was a seed of it.
Okay.
But after I finished my engineering and after I joined a job, like I was a business analyst or a data analyst, you know, within 1.5 years of working, I realized, okay, this is not what I want to do. But then in the back of my mind, this thing, you know, baking was always there. So at that point, I wasn't very happy in my job. I had some health issues also, and my job was very hectic. And then I had a real conversation with myself, what is it that I want to do? This was something I was passionate about. And finally, some of my really good friends also realized that something is amiss. So we sat down once and, you know, they talked to me. And so I just blurted out everything. Then we made a pros and cons list. So basically the pros of staying in my current profession and the cons. Then we saw the list and the pros outweighed the cons. Like clearly you could see. And that was the day when I finally decided. And the next day I went and spoke to my manager. A lot of people didn't believe me. A lot of them thought I got a better job and I'm just making up excuses. But I really quit. And I was in Bangalore that time. So I came back from Bangalore and I pursued baking. But of course, it wasn't a quick decision. I took my time. You know, for a month before that, I was contemplating it. I was talking to my family, friends, and it was bothering me for a long time. But this was the moment when I finally sat down and wrote down whatever I was feeling. that is when it clicked. And, you know, like on paper, it showed that it made sense.
Good.
So, yeah, that's when I decided.
Yeah, it's very nice. Actually, you have made a good analysis and then you thought, okay, let's move into this.
Yes.
I would say it's a wise decision, really.
Thank you.
So, did you get any sort of training or you started doing on your own? Like, how did you actually get to upgrade your baking skills?
Yes. So, initially, when it was my hobby, when I was in college, I used to just YouTube. I, you know, analyzed what I wanted to do. It wasn't just the baking, but also the business aspect of it. And I realized if I'm going to do this, let me learn all that there is to learn about this from a professional angle. So then I decided to, you know, actually commit to 1 year of learning. That was also a big decision because 1 year, you know, especially when you start working, removing 1 year again, when you're not earning and going back to school is a very difficult decision. So I decided ki let me, you know, actually learn this professionally. And I also decided ki, you know, once you learn it professionally, there are more chances of you getting a professional experience, which was my aim. I wanted to get a professional experience because if you work in businesses which you one day want to create, that's an experience which really will help you. So I learned 1 year. I did a course in Sofia Polytechnic at that time. This was 2013-14. That was the only standalone baking course. Now there are many and there are short-term ones also, but that was like a year of only focusing on baking and confectionery. And it also included a 3-month internship. And the internships were at really great places, most of the 5 stars in all over Bombay. So they used to place 1 or 2 of the students in almost all 5 stars around Mumbai. So I was like, where else can I get such experience? So then I decided to, you know, do the course. And getting into the course was also not easy because it was quite a coveted course and about 150 people used to apply and there were just 24 seats. And and the entry was totally based on an interview. It didn't matter whether you have a background in the field. It didn't matter what your age is, what your qualification is. There were students from 18 to, you know, up to 50 or something in our course. So that was amazing. So they would actually, the 3-minute interview, you know, the professors would just see how much you are interested in the topic. And, you know, if being in the course will give you value to do whatever you want to do. So they would analyze that needs. So I was quite intimidated at first because, you know, before the interview, I had quit my job. I just quit without a backup. But then that also pushed me. Then I was like, okay, I have no backup. So I have to make sure that I get in. So I kind of practiced. I thought of all the questions they could ask me, a person who had done engineering and a job and then quit. It's quite unusual, right? Mm-hmm. So I kind of, from a third person perspective, I just analyzed what they can ask. And one more thing I did is I used to bake at home. So I made sure I took a lot of pictures. And that time pictures were not on my cell phone. They were like, I printed out pictures, like, you know, photographs. And I thought I'll take it with me because then they already know, okay, I'm passionate. And so I made sure I leave no stone unturned because I'm like, these people don't know me. I just have 3 minutes. You know, just 3 minutes with them. And in those 3 minutes, I have to convince them that I deserve that seat. So when I went there, of course, I was nervous. But at least in, you know, at the back of my mind, I was like, I'm prepared. So luckily, I still remember that day after the interview, they put on the list. And I went there, you know, very early in the morning. That I don't think I was that nervous or that excited even during my engineering or getting admission into engineering. And when I saw my name on the board, it was like, I still remember everything, like what I was wearing, who was there around me. So, yeah, I was very happy to get in. And after that, it was 1 year of learning and it was super fun. Then I did my internship. And after the internship, I actually worked, you know, at one of Mumbai's really good restaurants in their pastry section. And you know, learned whatever I could about business, about baking, about pastry, how to handle clients, everything. And then finally, I decided okay, I was ready to start my own business.
Awesome. See, what I can see from whatever you have told is you were very much focused and you were so passionate because you quit your job and you were determined to go into this, right? And then 1 year of course you have taken, you have learned everything during that period. So you were trying to mold yourself completely.
Yes. Yes.
To go into this profession and start your own business. It's amazing, your journey. And you also took the help of your friends in your analysis, right?
Yes.
So what about your family support? Did they help you also? Did they support in your decision of following your passion?
So fortunately, you know, in my family, obviously all of us always had a voice. Like even if we were saying something, we were always heard. So luckily when I told, my mom is no more. So when I told my dad and my sister, so initially they were like, okay, do this part time. They didn't say no. Of course, they had my cake before. So they knew this. They liked it. So first they were like, okay, figure it out. Maybe you can do a job like which is not very taxing, which is like, you know, a part time job or something, and do this on the side. So they were like, kind of, you know, figure this out. And but then they were never deterrent. Like they never said, no, don't do this. And to be very honest, they always supported me. But I've seen the shift in their support. In the beginning, it was kind of like, okay, let her figure this out. If it doesn't work out also, theek hai. Like, you know, she has a degree, she can go back to her job. Maybe there'll be a gap, but it's not that you come back to zero. You have something. So initially I saw that, but once the business started and it started picking up and they saw how hard I'm working and they saw the products I was doing, then their belief kind of increased and now they totally support me.
Wow.
But yeah, so initially it was just like supporting a family member. They didn't know if it'll work. Very frankly, I'll tell you, it's not that they thought it'll work or not. So of course, then when I started, you know, working on my own, then they started seeing, you know, what the results were. And then they started believing even more in the business. First, they believed in me and then the transition happened.
Why I asked you this is because sometimes we don't get the minimum support.
Yes.
When we try to take some decision, we get more confused. That time we look out for family support. And
yes.
If they give even a little bit of confidence,
yes,
that will make us, you know, actually achieve what we want. So it's good that belief that they had on you. I think that has made you move to this level.
Definitely.
Okay. Very nice. So now 5 years you are into this business. From the start till now, you're doing something for your passion. How do you feel doing this?
I really like doing it. I like being a part of people's happiness and special occasions. And to be very honest, when I started business, so baking and working for someone else is totally different because, you know, they have to care about where they are getting business, how they are getting clients. But when you're starting on your own, it's all on you. So initially, I wasn't confident at all. I mean, I knew I could bake, but I wasn't confident upon whether I will get clients. Who will order from me? Why will they order from me? They have other options. All these questions were there. So slowly, one after the other, I took very small baby steps. And once I started getting that positive feedback, first supporters were, of course, friends and, you know, family, school friends, college friends. That's how the circle grew. And once, you know, they started liking the product, it just went on and on. So I'm really happy. The best part is, of course, what I said, being part of people's happiness. And some of my clients, I've been with them for so many years that I've done their wedding cake, I've done their baby showers, I've done their kids' first, second, third birthdays, etc. So, you know, I almost feel like I'm a part of their family. Also, the personal evolution which I've had, you know, when you are in a business, I think there are a lot of difficulties, but I think you get exposed to your true self because there's no security blanket anymore. There's no paycheck coming. So whatever insecurities, whatever things which are holding you back, you have to deal with them, which otherwise you can, you know, hide because, you know, you have some kind of security always there. But as an entrepreneur, you are really like exposed. So then you have to analyze yourself and a lot of intense growth in you personally also, and you know your strengths and weaknesses, and you know how to use your strengths, and you know how to get help from others when it comes to things you're not good at. So I really am happy, you know, first of all, to impact others, my clients, also for my own personal growth. And thirdly, I love the fact that I'm able to, employ people and give them a livelihood and help them grow. Sometimes, like, I see some people are good at something and I push them and they become better and they do things which they didn't think they could do. That is such a great feeling that you have the opportunity to do that as a business owner, that you can give opportunities to others. So that's why I love doing what I'm doing. It has multiple benefits.
Very nice. Because in the previous job, you mentioned that you didn't even like, that is how you felt before, yes. Right? But now you are like enjoying everything. You said that being part of people's happiness, I think that's the best feeling.
Yes.
And then you're giving opportunities for people in your business. So that's again a great thing.
True.
Okay. So what do you specialize on?
So I specialize in customized cakes. So if you order a cake from us, it's specially made for you according to what you like and according to the occasion. So it's highly customized stuff.
Okay. And so what were the challenges you came across while you started this business and how did you overcome that?
So a lot of challenges actually. Initially, when you are a solopreneur, which I was initially, there's no work-life balance and you're like working all the time, physically as well as mentally. So that was a challenge. So of course, I had to kind of grow slowly and organize things. I didn't start out as that. So a lot of the times you don't have time for your family or friends. So those things, suffer. So those were challenges. Then, of course, getting clients initially, I had no idea about marketing and things like that. Then a lot of your clients will ask you to do too much or do things at the last minute, give you orders at the last minute, or you are not able to determine a price for your time, your effort, etc. Especially when you're starting out, which happens to everyone. So those were challenges, to manage all that. To handle it in such a way that you are nice to people also, but at the same time, you put across things properly so that, you have a sustainable business. So also, the financial aspect of it initially, it's like when you don't have enough clients, it's ups and downs, you don't have a steady income initially. So it can affect your mental health as well. Like it's not that you kind of worry too much. You're not always focused on the baking and the creative part. You also have to focus on the commercial aspect of it. So those are some of the challenges. And also the delicate nature of the cakes. I've had some initial days because of our roads and, the weather of Mumbai, a lot of things go wrong and you have to be very careful because that cake is for a special occasion. So those were some of the challenges. But of course, as you keep doing stuff, you learn and I've been able to overcome most of the challenges. And even if something happens, I know how to handle it now in a way that everyone is happy and things are taken care of. So yes, that has been a learning journey.
Yeah, as we move into that, we get to learn a lot of things, right?
Yes.
As we progress in that. Okay. So what, according to you, is the underrated part about bakers?
Underrated, I think the fact that it takes art, science, as well as commerce to do it all. Some professions are treated as their value is more than certain professions. So as bakers, sometimes I think people don't realize how much time and effort is required. And the fact that there's art as well as science involved. Baking is highly mathematical. So your proportions and all have to be right. It's not like cooking. If you want to get a consistent product, you have to carefully weigh out everything. And some of the processes are also very precise. And the temperature, everything. So you have to have that kind of a scientific knowledge. And of course, artistry as well. The things have to look good. So the balance of both.
Yes. So what growth do you see in this business? Do you think that you can get maximum profit or the return of investment, what can be expected?
So yeah, I think it's a flourishing industry. Food is always, it's always profitable, I think. And nowadays, because of social media and everything, and a lot of new good restaurants and chefs getting a lot of hype because of MasterChef, etc., food will always be something which will be profitable. In terms of ROI, it depends on various factors. Like there are a lot of fancy culinary schools which are very expensive. So if you go to them and then, you know, expect immediate returns, it's hard. But if you are very conscious of, you know, how you're building your business and you're doing it slowly, I think, you know, the profits are great. Like, I think at least 25 to 30%. Of course, it depends on, you know, where you are. If you are into retail or if you have a cloud kitchen. So if you're in retail, of course, you know, the rent and everything is crazy and you have more employees and stuff like that. So it depends, but as such, if you're just talking about the product, the cost price and the selling price, the margins are pretty good. But of course, you have to make sure that you plan it well and you consider the commercial angle as well. For example, when I started out, I started from home because at that point, I couldn't invest so much in a separate place and everything. And I started building on social media, etc. And once I was at a point where I knew, okay, fine, I'm earning enough that I can pay rent. I'm earning enough so that, you know, I can hire an employee, stuff like that. Then I started slowly. And of course, as it keeps growing, once you get more employees, you're able to produce more. And then, of course, you have to get that many more clients. And it's a cycle. I think that way is great. If you have the money to invest and you are ready to work hard, it will take some time to give you back your the investment. But if you're doing all the right things, it will happen. But you have to be very self-aware and keep monitoring stuff, feedback. How is it going? How are my sales? Okay, how am I going to get more sales? How are my products? How is the feedback? So all that. So a loop should be there. You should keep taking feedback and then go on investing. I mean, that is what I would suggest. Someone who doesn't have a very sound financial background, start slow. And then, of course, whatever you want, keep putting it back in your business slowly, slowly, slowly. And don't compare yourself too much to others. That is what I would say. Every journey is different. And as an industry, this is a very highly profitable industry and people will keep enjoying great food.
Yeah. So on the same lines, if someone wants to follow the same footsteps as yours, like they also want to take baking as their career and they want to do this full time. So what are the main tips that you would suggest for them?
Yeah. So first of all, I like them to analyze also if they are doing it as a hobby. I would say like the practical thing to do, I won't suggest people to quit their jobs or their careers directly. Maybe do it half and half and see how it goes. And once they start getting the feedback and this thing, then they can decide. So that is one thing. Don't just be in a hurry because it's a lot of hard work. Though it seems very glamorous and fun, there are a lot of hours, you know, standing on your feet, a lot of long hours. Saturday, Sundays, you lose weekends because weekends are when people celebrate. So you're working the hardest. So all those things that I'll suggest, be very honest and be honest in your own life. See your life. See how you want to go about, you know, what you can take time out of, what you can't, how much time you have, how much your financial position, everything, and then make a sound decision. Second thing I'll say is be precise when baking, especially. I said it's mathematical, so be precise. Also know the worth of your time and efforts, calculating cost. So, and get your basics right and build on them. And again, I'll say stop comparing yourself too much.
Okay, so this is a general question that I'm asking you about the business. When people actually start doing something for their passion and then it keeps going, and at one point of time, they sometimes lose interest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you think should be the mindset of a person to keep the self-motivation going on, and how should they actually go about with that?
So for this, I like to say, based on my own experiences, right? Sometimes entrepreneurship is very glorified. It's all like, oh, it's all nice and you're following your passion, which is all good. But in reality, there are going to be ups and downs and you are going to be affected. You're a human being after all. What I suggest is what I keep doing is always keep learning about entrepreneurship. Study the people, you know, who have been successful before, not necessarily in baking, but as business people. Read about them, get to know about strategies so that you know that you're not the only one. And sometimes, you know, we feel ki ye hamare saath hi ho raha hai. But if you talk to other people, if you read about stuff, you realize ki this is a universal thing which happens to everyone, and then see how they kind of dealt with it. The fact of just knowing that, you know, it's not just you who's facing this problem and many people have been through it and have flourished from it in spite of it, alone will give you a lot of courage and alone will, you know, change your mindset or perspective. Secondly, of course, learning what they did, how they overcame, will teach you how you will do it too. So that is very important. So don't be disheartened. This happens to everyone. Failures or, you know, potholes or anything are a part of everyone's journey. The second thing I like to say is ki know yourself and trust yourself. Sometimes when you're starting initially, other people's opinion get you affected a lot. Like, koi kuch bolta hai, koi kuch bolta hai. Not everyone will love you. That is okay. And sometimes, you know, some people will say something and you will give too much importance to it. But always look at where the advice is coming from. Does this person have enough experience in the field you are in? If it doesn't, you don't have to take it to heart, because there's no point, you know, being in that negative space, especially when, you know. So then if you work on knowing yourself and trusting yourself and looking at things objectively, a lot of your problems, you know, will be solved. And even if they're not solved immediately, at least you'll be in a better mindset. So, and also ask for help if required. See, we all have our different strengths and weaknesses. Stop badgering yourself for your weaknesses. You know, wherever you think, you know, if you're not an organized person or if you're not good at some aspect of the business, go ahead and take help from someone who's good at that. You can't be good at everything. That is what I'll tell them. And also be patient. Things don't happen. Things take longer than you think.
Correct. I think the patience is very much necessary in a business, right?
Yes.
We cannot expect returns so fast. We have to keep putting in more effort.
And always look at how far you've come. So this I realized last time during the lockdown. Not that I didn't, but before that it was all work, work, work. I didn't have too much of free time because I was working almost 7 days a week. Profession is such that, I mean, of course, you can plan and take leaves during the weekdays, but you have to manage it accordingly. I didn't realize that now, you know, after the lockdown, I thought, okay, the business won't be that great for a long time. But when I saw people who have been there with me, supporting me from a long time, you know, they were very eager once I started again after last year's lockdown. And how people have recommended other people because they needed trusted people to order from. And since everyone was scared to go out, and so they were relying on trusted people. So they were listening to more of their friends and families. I made cakes for a lot of doctors, which I'm very happy and proud about.
Awesome.
You know, the COVID warriors. So all those things made me realize, okay, all the relationships I've built over the years, and now I can see what they're doing when I really needed people's support. They're actually coming out and supporting, and I was very touched by it. And then I realized, okay, the seeds which I had sown long back, now I can see.
Uh-huh.
And so all those things, you know, you have to be patient, and sometimes, you know, these surprising things might happen.
Very nice, Hemangi, the support you have received over the period of time and how much patience you have to reach to this level. It's superb.
Thank you.
So you have shared us so much tips about baking, and you have given awesome tips for the people who want to get into this field and take this up as a career. So let's go on to a rapid fire round. Okay. It will be like a fun round. I'll be asking you 20 questions, and then whatever comes to your mind first, you can tell that, okay?
Okay, sure.
Shall we start?
Yes.
Okay. So, who would you look up to in this industry?
Oh, there are a lot of people, actually.
You can name one.
Okay. So, in India, there is the chef Pani, who's from Mayam Patisari. She's in Delhi. I really like her. Not just because of her products, but also the way she communicates, and she's so honest and upfront about things. So I really like her. And internationally, there is a baker called Reshmi Bennett. She's an Indian, but she's based in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Even she's like that. Her cakes are also great. She's very honest about the struggles of being a baker. And both of them, you know, even though now they have a lot of followers, whenever I've communicated with them on Instagram or something, they've always been nice enough to reply. So I really like their attitude. So I really look up to them because reaching at that level and still being so authentic and honest, and you know, they support their team very nicely, which I resonate with. So these two people I really look up to.
Awesome. What is your favorite flavor combinations?
Oh, I like chocolate and caramel and almond also.
That's my favorite too. I love chocolate and caramel both.
Nice.
Okay, one cake equipment you regret purchasing?
This is very initially when I didn't even learn baking. Like, I didn't go to the school for baking. There was this thing, like, it's for piping and it's like a pump kind of a thing.
Okay.
It doesn't work. I don't know why they have it. You know that chakli kind of a mold?
Okay.
So, it's like that, but for piping. And I have never figured out how it works, and it's just something was wasted money on. So.
Okay. That happens. That's fine. Okay. What is a new skill you like to learn?
I actually would like to learn chocolate sculpting. So there are some chefs I follow on Instagram. They make these amazing chocolate sculptures. Of course, they are edible, but mostly they are just for display. But some of them are so realistic and it's amazing. So, I mean, I would actually love to learn something like that.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. What's the new technology, according to you, will change the world?
Oh, wow. I think Elon Musk knows that. But what will change the world? Yeah, if we can reduce the carbon footprint, I think something related to that, I think it'll change the world. If it can reverse climate change and everything.
Okay. Which is your least favorite beverage?
Wow. I think Karela juice, maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Have you tried it anytime?
It's my least favorite. I won't try it. I mean, it just sounds bad. Like, so.
Yes, yes, I know. Okay. What is the one book you recommend the listeners to read that you think their life might change after reading that book?
If you are a business owner, there's this book called E-Myth Revisited. Okay, that book, definitely, you will change your life as a business owner, especially if you've been in business for a while. You'll almost feel like it's talking to you, because I've not read any article which speaks to you the way E-Myth Revisited speaks to you, all the problems, and of course the solutions and how to organize your business, basically, from a small business to help it scale everything. But the way it's written, it's amazing. You'll feel like the author is sitting with you and he's talking to you and he knows all your problems.
Oh, that's nice.
So everyone must read that. E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber.
Awesome. What is the biggest lesson you have learned from your life so far?
Biggest lesson is knowing yourself and loving yourself, being your own best friend. If you do that, a lot of things in life become easy and simple. Your other relationships also become better. You are a much better person.
I absolutely agree with you.
And you have to be kind to yourself and listen to yourself.
Okay. What fortune do you want from a fortune cookie?
Wow. Wow. What fortune? Unlimited time. Or if I can just sleep for 1 minute and feel like I've slept for 8 hours, that would be nice. So I can do a lot of things. Like, you know.
Oh my God.
Minimize 8 hours into like just 5 minutes or something, 1 minute.
Okay.
Uh-huh. All the health benefits of that without having to sleep so much. And then I'll have more time to do everything.
Nice. This is a very nice idea, what you've told now.
Yeah.
Okay. If you were to time travel, what would you be doing?
Ooh, wow. That's a very interesting question. I would like to go to the past. Just one thing I would like to change. I can go back to my school days. I don't know if I could have done it myself or something, but I wish I would have taken more care of my self-health. And if I could have, played a sport or something. My school didn't have sports for girls at that time. If it had, I would have participated. But I really wish now, I feel like if I had some athletic thing in school and when I was young, if I would have been. So those kind of things I wish. Now I know the importance of it. But I wish that was a thing when I was a child, if I would have learned that kind of discipline, you know, as a kid.
Okay. So we've come to the last end of the section. We have one more question to go. But before that, what is your advice to people who want to follow their passion?
I would say life is too short. Don't try to listen to other people. Sit with yourself, maybe with a few friends who really know you and care about you authentically, and figure it out. And you don't have to do this very dramatic thing of leaving everything. Maybe do it in small installments. Please know that we are living in a time where you can start a business without too much investment. Because of the internet, things have become very easy. So, you know, we have many, many resources which are free of cost, which we can use to our advantage. Because of technology, a lot of things which used to take a lot of time take hardly any time. So you don't have to quit anything. Just take out 1 or 2 hours. Do it slowly. Build on it. It's your life. Do whatever you want to do. Of course, you'll have to plan, but you have to have that mindset in place. Anything is possible. My whole business started because of social media. If it wasn't there, I don't know. Like, it would have taken a lot of time. Who knows if I would have been at this place that I am now. It would have taken a lot of time.
Very nicely said. Yeah, social media is a big boon nowadays. No, we can reach people faster compared to before.
Yeah.
So how can the listeners connect to you, Himangi?
Yeah, you can connect to me on Instagram. My handle is Soul Sugar Bakery, and also on Facebook, you can search Soul Sugar Bakery. I have a site also, soulsugar.in, but now we are revamping that. So, but then you can, of course, go. There are a couple of blogs I've written. And I'm on Zomato and Google also. I mean, Zomato is just so you can read the reviews of people who had my cakes if you want to just go through them. But Instagram, I'm the most active, so you can check that out.
Okay. I'll be anyway sharing the links in the description. Okay.
Sure.
So we have come to the last question of this round. So if you are given the power to change the world in a day, what is the one thing that you will do?
So if I can just eliminate all the inequality which women face, if I could do that, I would do that because it's very close to my heart. Women being on the dominant position, I love that. Women, you know, ruling the world. But at least, if not that, at least equal, perfectly equal.
Perfect. Okay. So thank you so much, Himangi. It was wonderful talking to you for the past 1 hour. I truly enjoyed all the journey that you have mentioned about how you became a baker and then your challenges and so many tips you have shared. It was awesome.
Thank you.
I wish you all the success and all the best for your future endeavors. You should grow more and you should become more successful than you are now. I hope all the listeners get connected.
Yeah.
All the best again, and may all your dreams be fulfilled. And thank you so much again for coming to my show.
Thank you so much, Nivedita. I'm a big fan of podcasts, so I'm really happy with what you're doing. And you yourself are following your passion of doing this apart from your work, which is not something everyone does. So I'm very happy that you are doing this and inspiring others. And it's been fun. Keep doing it and you'll go very far, I'm sure, with the kind of person you are and what you're doing and the message you're spreading.
Thank you so much, Himangi. I hope your words come true. So to all of you who would like to connect to her on social media, the social media handles are shared in the description below. And thank you so much, guys, for your time and listening to this episode. I'm sure it would have added a lot of value to your life and given you clarity of how to live your passion with a purpose. So if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please do subscribe to my podcast and share it with your family, friends and colleagues and give it a 5-star rating. And please don't forget to share your comments on what you think about this episode. You can connect to me on Instagram at Power of Passion. I will catch you next week on another inspiring episode of Power of Passion. Until then, stay safe and most importantly, do what you love. Thank you.